The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome. What an amazing day today is. Finally, in front of you all, as your pastor, as I'm wearing this soul. So thank you. A true honor to be here. And in the honor of it, everything's a little bit different today, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But welcome, and together we will experience God in word, and in sacrament, and in the presence of each other. And so we ask you all now to rise and face our baptism font as we remember the gifts of our baptism. Christ is risen. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, by whose hand we are given new birth, by whose speaking we are given new life.
Amen.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are welcomed, restored, and supported as citizens of the new creation. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. Let us pray. Holy God,
holy and merciful, holy and mighty, you are the river of life, you are the everlasting wellspring. In mercy and might, you have freed us from death and raised us with Jesus, the firstborn of the dead. In the baptismal waters, our old life is washed away, and in them we are born.
Glory to you for oceans and lakes, for rivers and streams. Honor to you for waters that wash us clean, quench our thirst, and nurture both crop and creatures. Praise to you for the life-giving waters of baptism, the outpouring of the Spirit of new creation. Wash away our sins and all that separates us from you. Empower our witness to your resurrection. Strengthen our resolve in seeking justice for all. Satisfy the world's needs through this living water. Where drought dries the earth, bring refreshment. Where despair prevails, grant hope. Where chaos reigns, bring peace. We ask this through Christ, who with you and the Spirit reigns forever.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. And on this, such a joyous day, we are going to unveil and dedicate this side altar, this altar which has been a metaphor for the Spirit amongst us. And perhaps I will dedicate a whole sermon to this marvelous journey, but we would just call it Paul and Sandy and Bonnie who have made this possible. No, you're good. I had been in conversation with different people about wanting a space to dedicate, to enhance our worshiping experience, and through that, the Spirit led me to these three amazing artists and workers, and they all contributed and their own pieces to this. And the great part about this is the individual beauty of each of this piece are combined to bring into this new experience of our worship. And we are very thankful, and we've gotten you each a flower. I'm not going to give it to you now. It would be awkward. But maybe, Dan, can you remind people? Remind them to grab their flowers.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're honored.
I'm trying to adjust this new world of a mic on a stool. So there might be some of those. So let us pray. We give thanks, O God, creator of the universe, for you have enriched our lives with every good and perfect gift. You have commanded us to show your splendor to our children, and you have invited us to praise you with the lives of joy, justice, and love. Send your blessing to this side altar, which we set apart today. May the material things of your creation, shaped by human hands, draw our hearts to things that can be seen only by the eyes of faith. To the glory of your holy name, now and forever.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our shepherd, you know your sheep by name, and lead us to safety through the valleys of death.
Guide us by your voice, that we may walk in certainty and security to joyous peace prepared in your house, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
And I would invite the children forward, but since we only have one, I won't put her on the spot. But we'll play the game together. And we have a little game here, and that is spot all the differences from last week. From last week. The color. So that's the first one. Our color is red today. In Easter, it's typically white. And I wanted to bring attention to that. When do we have red in our as our color?
Pentecost.
Pentecost. And there's one other time.
Reformation.
Reformation Day. Yeah, the one day of the week we get to be sectarian. But what does that red represent?
Blood of Christ.
Blood of Christ, I hear. Yes. The Holy Spirit. Why the Holy Spirit?
Flame.
Because of fire. Yeah, so we have a bunch of different meanings to what it could be. But we, especially with Pentecost, which is coming up in a few weeks, we will have the red out again for fire, representing the presence of Christ in our midst. And we change that to red during ordination, again, because of that presence of the Spirit in our midst, bringing something to new life and moving. And we kept that, again, red today just to celebrate it one more time and to bring attention to this side altar. May the Spirit be moving here. May it be a spot for all to come who wish to spend a longer moment to pause in the presence of God, knowing that the presence of God there is but a symbol for the presence of God always with you. There's a cross just hovering above the waters in the cloud that you can only really see if you approach the painting. And let that be, again, a symbol of the ability of the Spirit in our midst to bring something beautiful to life. And may we always know that God is with us. And so I invite you all to pray now. We take our hands out on the count of three, and we'll bring it together. One, two, three. And repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for your presence.
Thank you for your presence.
Thank you for your Spirit.
Thank you for your Spirit.
Amen.
You'll soon be hearing from our new pastor. The gospel theme of the day is about shepherd. And of course, Pastor John, I'm going to take a small leap of faith here and tell you on behalf of the entire congregation how proud and blessed we are to have you choose us as your first call. Thank you. So the trio has a gift for you, but we can't wrap it. You can't put it on your desk, and even worse, in a drawer. It's a musical gift, and it's a gift about a shepherd. So, Pastor John, this one's for you.
My shepherd, you Good morning, everyone. The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, second chapter, beginning at verse 42. Hear now the word. The baptized devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
We will sing Psalm 23 today on page 6. I'll begin with the light print. Please join me by singing the dark print.
My shepherd, I shall not be in want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters.
You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways. For your name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The second reading is from the first letter of Peter, chapter 2, beginning at verse 19. Hear now the word. It is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus said, very true. truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of a stranger. And Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. This is the fourth Sunday of Easter. And the fourth Sunday of Easter every year is Good Shepherd Sunday. We have this interruption of our Easter text, and we have a highlighted interruption today with a change of color. And we may all wonder why we get this interruption in the midst of Easter with a text from John. It's not a resurrection text, it's a shepherding text. And through the course of our 3-year lectionary, we go through this entire text of John. So do take notes, because next year, same time, the next part of this text. And so there'll be a quiz beforehand. No quiz, no notes needed. But the point of this introduction is to raise this point on all of our journey, that the Gospels were all written after the resurrection. They were written after that Sunday. And there is no way to understand our texts, to understand the story of Jesus, except through the cross and resurrection. This is why in our Gospels, the author is always telling us they didn't yet understand. And we have that again today in this text. And Jesus said, "Those who wish to say," whoops, I quoted the wrong verse. But we have that author tell us that they did not understand. Hopefully now, after the resurrection, they understood. And so while it seems like This is an interruption of our Easter resurrection text. This is a text given light and meaning because of the resurrection. And as I often say, we are in this text and we are journeying. And part of this journey is that recognition that our lives are headed to our own crosses, that we will all face death. And in light of that, we have this hope that our lives then transform into new life, that God brings new from death life. And that is the Easter hope. And it is in that hope that we read these texts. Texts of the Good Shepherd. And in order to really understand these texts, I have to point out, with no judgment in mind, that the way we shepherd in the modern Western world is different than how they would do this in the ancient, and even in places of the world now, in the East. In the West, we hear, and again, no judgment. But when we think of shepherds in the West, and we ask, what does a shepherd do? We don't make shepherd into a verb normally. But we have another verb for what the shepherd does, and that's herding. A shepherd herds. And in the West, we do this by driving the sheep. We may have a sheep dog, they may have a horse or a whip, but when we want the sheep to go somewhere, we drive them there. If they go out of the way, then we drive them back. We drive them where we want them to go. But in the ancient world, and in many parts of the world, maybe even to this day, shepherds lead their flock. They know their flock. They know each flock by each sheep by name. And the shepherd can take his flock into a great big pen with other sheep from other flocks. And in the morning, as the shepherd will lead them out, he can call his own sheep, and those and only those sheep will come. And so our image today of Christ as the shepherd is this image of Christ who calls, who leads, who does. A God who comes and does the work. And indeed, this metaphor is captured in the Old Testament when they referred to the leaders of the nation as shepherds. And in Ezekiel, God has a stern message for the shepherds who are leading the nation away, leading the nation to ruin. And that message is, your days are coming to an end. And because you cannot do this work, I will come and do this work. And in Jesus, it is God doing this work. That is why we get these great big I am statements. Jesus, God incarnate, doing the work that the leaders could not do, doing the work we cannot do. It is Jesus doing the work of God, of calling us and leading us to green pastures, to the feast at the table of life. And the only thing the sheep have left to do is hear and follow. The sheep are passive in this text. And so the only final consideration for us today is, what is this voice we hear? Because we are told that there are bandits and thieves, people who will drive the sheep. And we hear those voices in the world, voices that tell you that you are not enough, that you do not belong here, that you are different and therefore excluded, voices that say you don't have enough, you are enough. Those are the voices of the thief, the one who will scatter of the flock. But the voice we hear from a God of love is that you are loved, you are accepted, you are forgiven. It is this voice we hear and we follow through our waters of baptism to this table, this grand feast that the shepherd leads us, a feast of life and love and belonging and acceptance. That is the voice that hears, that calls us, and this is the table we come to. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
United in the hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. You are the shepherd who gathers us in your mighty and loving arms. Help your church to listen for your voice, especially when the voices of sin, idolatry, and oppression threaten to overpower us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
The green pastures, still waters, and dark valleys of this earth all belong to you, O Lord. Sustain your creation with a love that is both mighty and just. Where there is destruction, bring healing. Where there is desolation, bring abundance. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You proclaim shepherding love, comfort, and protection for all people and all of creation. Direct leaders in our own time to learn from your example and instruction. Give them servant hearts that they generously seek the good of all. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You journey with us wherever our paths may lead. We pray for those feeling overwhelmed by anxiety or depression, or suffering in any way, especially Aaron, Mariah, Jane, Kevin, Mike, Jim, Kelly, Joe, Clifford, Madeline, Ara, Penelope, Twyla, Karen, Brian, Meredith and family, family of Reg Greenwood, victims of the war in Ukraine, the earthquake in Turkey and Syria, and people of Fernlawn Lutheran Church. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You are the sheep gate that gives safety to your beloved flocks. Provide protection for refugees, victims of domestic violence, those who are imprisoned, and all who are vulnerable to violence and mistreatment. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You call your sheep by name and lead them through the valley of death. We give you thanks for those who have died and now dwell in your house forever, especially Reg Greenwood and Harvey Dufresne. Be with those who mourn and give them hope in the promise of resurrection. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
Please stand if you're able.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should in all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
You are most holy and great is the majesty of your glory. You so loved the world that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.
Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again.
Remembering, therefore, his solitary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the promise of his coming again, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask that you mercifully accept our praise and thanksgivings, and with your word and the Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these, your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we may, and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and may receive the forgiveness of sins, be formed to live as your holy people, and be given our inheritance with all the saints. To you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever.
Amen.
And gathered into one with the Holy Spirit, let us pray as our Lord taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. This is the banquet feast of God for all the people of God. And all are welcome here to this table. In a minute, the usher will come and he asks you to form one solid line. We'll go this side, then come this side. Come with your hand extended forward to receive the element in your hand. And then come to the station for the liquid. And you can choose the darker liquid, which is wine. The lighter liquid is grape juice. But know that all are welcome to this table. And if you wish to come and only receive a blessing, come with your arms folded. But this is the feast of God for us all. Amen.
Satisfy our hungry heart with gift of
Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior keep us in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and this meal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us to show your love and serve the world in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now we pause for a moment of announcements and ask if there are any announcements for the good of the order. Sue.
Speaking on behalf of Parish Life, we are continuing our celebration of Pastor John Smithsey's ordination installation, his family being here, and not to disappoint anyone, we have quite a feast. For those that are visitors, this is not a normal Sunday morning, but this is a celebration Sunday morning, and if you say to yourself, why such a big pan of red jello?
Are there any more? Well, come join us afterwards. And let us now prepare for our benediction. The God of all, who raised Jesus from the dead, bless you by the power of the Holy Spirit to live into this new creation.
Amen.
I'm
Go in peace, serve the risen Lord.
Amen.